We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The zombie apocalypse is imminent. Could you survive? You'll have a better chance after completing Geek Nation Tours Zombie Apocalypse Training 101. Learn to fire weapons, scrounge for food, and actually run from zombies. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
We Talk Fantasy Football. This is week 7. I am Mo.
And I'm Brett.
And we're going to do it for you a quick little show here because as the day's been going on, I've been developing a headache about the size of Rex Ryan's ego.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big goddamn headache.
I'm surprised with that guy there's even room on the field for the players. Like that.
Well, that ego's there isn't. I mean, all you have to do is look at Percy Harvin and what's going on with him.
Isn't that a hip injury?
Well, now apparently he's on the non-football injury list because he's talking about potentially retiring. So,
I thought that was a hip injury. Or, of course, Percy Harvin, known also for being a...
Harvin is who I was talking about. Yes.
Did you say? Yeah,
that's what he said. Okay.
Yeah, but Percy Harvin, because, you know, the thing about him is he's also known for his stability.
Yes.
So, really, you get these personalities together, I think we all knew it would turn out well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the nice thing is that this is spiraling into madness even quicker than I anticipated at this rate.
Ah, he can turn it around. Just ask him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'll tell you.
Just ask him. Yeah, that's what my headache's like, so you can imagine how big that is. So, as the day goes on, hopefully it'll get better, but hopefully the show will be good and entertaining regardless of how long it is. We're going to look at some of the draft picks that happened this year and whether or not they're worth where they were drafted at, but I think we should open up with making our picks, and then we'll see how much time we have for the other topic.
All right, Thursday night game, Seahawks 49ers.
You know, these teams have the same record, do you realize that?
That is shocking. It is absolutely shocking.
Yeah, it's true, I know, it is shocking. So, I mean, I can't sit there and say that's a lock in any way. I wouldn't use this as a survivor pick. I have one survivor pick left. I think you're already out for the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, the NFL is so unpredictable. I'm going to go Seahawks because they're the Seahawks. Another team is the 49ers. But, I mean, it's 55-45. Seahawks are struggling so bad.
I'm going with 70-30 Seahawks, but there is definitely, it should be a 99-1.
Well, the thing is, they have owned Kaepernick so badly. He's done so poorly against them that's the reason I'm going with them, not because I'm looking at them and thinking they're a better team right now.
No, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
All right, the Bills versus the Jaguars.
In London,
and the Bills are missing, the vast majority of their offense.
The Bills are missing everybody. Taylor's out, Watkins, obviously Harvin, but they still have Shady.
Yep.
Manuel actually didn't play so badly last week, surprisingly. He played actually quite well. They still have Clay, who's been really a rock at the tight end position. If you got him at value, you should be happy. Jaguars' offense has been terrific, but their defense has been horrible. Bill's defense has been horrible as well, but the Jags being at home is no advantage here since it's London. In fact, there'd probably be more fans cheering for the Bills. I'm going to go Bills, but it could go either way because you have a 3-3 team against a 1-5 team.
It's funny because I just think the Jags' offense is better, so I'm going to go with the Jags to get win number 2. Vikings-Lions.
I'm going to go Lions. I'm going to go that they do, being at home, that they win 2 in a row because the Vikings have proven to be a really poor road team. The fact is that their record's pretty good, but their wins have come against soft marks. Not that the Lions haven't been a soft mark, but the Lions have also lost a couple super close games.
Yeah, if the Lions can get Haloti Ngata back, and if they can plug up Adrian Peterson, then there is no reason the Lions can't win this game. All right, the Saints versus the Colts.
I got to go Colts, and that's pretty close to a lock for me. The Saints, I can't see them doing it 2 weeks in a row. I don't believe in that team and their consistency enough, so I'm going to go Colts.
You know what? The funny thing is, I don't believe in the Colts. So I'm in an upset, I'm going to predict the Saints are going
to
win this.
That is a massive upset to me.
But that being said, it's not going to surprise me at all if the Colts win. The Jets, Patriots.
4-1 versus 5-0. And I'd like to repeat, 4-1. And the loss that the Jets took is probably a game that they should have won.
Absolutely, they should have won, yeah.
But, you know, the Patriots are, until they've lost, I'm going to predict them to keep winning. Because, I mean, if again, this is a team that has an outside shot of breaking the Dolphins' record from 73, you know, or 72, or is it 73? I can't recall.
72, I believe.
72, yeah. So anyways, this is a team that seems like they have that shot. So I'm going to go Patriots.
The truth is, until the Jets prove that they can keep up with the Patriots in scoring points, and as much as I love Fitzmagic, I don't think
Yeah, that's the thing. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot. I mean, Fitzmagic, yeah, I like him. I think he's a really good leader. He's a competitor. But, you know, he's not Tom Brady.
Nope.
So, he's not Tom Brady.
Gotta like
the Patriots. But Ivory's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The Falcons, Titans.
Little Falcons here, big bounce back.
Yeah, this one seems a near lock for me.
Yeah, Zach Mettenberger at quarterback, it looks like. And Titans, until they figure out who's going to establish a run game for them, they won't have a consistent winning season or win at all.
And if Mettenberger's starting at quarterback, then that is a downgrade. So
yeah, it is, yeah.
If I had a survivor pick, this would probably be the one. The Cowboys, Giants.
This is a really tough game. Super tough. I'm going to go Giants because the Cowboys haven't won since they've lost Bryant and Romo. So until they prove to me they can, I'm going to go Giants being at home and everything. But that's a really tough game to pick.
It totally is. Castle could be a step up from Brandon Whedon.
Oh, he is.
But, you know, I still have to go Giants. Although if the Giants play the way they did against the Eagles, then it'll be the Cowboys. But
well, that's the thing, though. I mean, I just don't expect that twice in a row. But again, Eli, you never know. There's good Eli. There's bad Eli.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Browns and the Rams.
Oh, that's another tough game.
Very tough.
I'm going to go Rams. I think Gurley's going to have a big day.
I'm going Rams only because they're at home. I think the Browns have a better offense, but the Rams have a better running back.
Yeah.
All right, the Texans, Dolphins.
That's another really tough one for me. I'm going to go Texans because Hoyer's been on fire. Dolphins look better. Now, Dolphins, I think, have as much talent as any team in the AFC generally. But, I mean, was it a one-game bump from a new coach and from a, you know, regime change, or was it... Or is it that they're going to grab momentum off of that and build on it? And we don't know yet. So I'm going to go with Hoyer. I mean, what is he? Last three games, 7 TDs, 1 interception. Averaging about 230 yards a game. I think he's playing really well. So, and Nuke is Nuke.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dolphins because they're at home and because the Texans' defense has been ass.
It has been ass. The Dolphins' defense until last week, ass.
Yep. But in this case, I'm betting that the momentum is going to carry them through against one of the not-so-good teams in the league. All right, the Steelers, Chiefs.
I don't care who's a quarterback for the Steelers. They can, you know, they can put anybody in. They're going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, they could pretty much, you know, play you a quarterback and hang a 40-burger on them.
Yeah. The Chiefs are... Chiefs right now with the injuries and... And the game having passed Andy Reid by, now I'm thinking they're the worst team right now. In week 7, I don't know if they're going to be the worst team in the season or how it's going to, but in week 7, I'm thinking this is the worst team in the NFL. So I like the Steelers. Yeah, I mean, they can put Jamarcus Russell in there, who's about as athletic as me nowadays.
Yeah, that's, actually, I think in fairness, he was about as athletic as you.
That might be part of the problem. Yeah. That might be part of the problem.
The Buccaneers, Redskins.
I think I probably, you know, again, these are two teams of kind of the same level. I think I'm probably going to go Redskins, only because Winston's up and down. But this is a winnable game for the Buccaneers on the road, for sure. But I'm going to go Redskins.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm 51-49. I'll go the Redskins as well, mostly because they're at home. That's it. Yeah. Raiders-Chargers.
I'm going to go Raiders here. Chargers, you know, I thought they were going to win that division. Rivers is, you know, playing terrific and everything, but the lack of an offensive line, consistent run game, and defense to speak of, he just can't overcome it. So the Raiders are kind of an off the radar team that's probably looking like they could finish close to 500, 7-9, 8-8, somewhere in that range. So,
yeah, it's interesting. RotoWorld commented about the Chargers that they're a team that seems to only dress 3 offensive linemen per game.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely right. The Raiders are surprisingly good. So I am going to go for
The Raiders. Murray hasn't really established that run game. Still looking to do that, but this could be the day where he does it.
Eagles, Panthers.
Panthers. There's no reason to pick against the Panthers in this game right now.
No.
That would drop the Eagles to 3-4, which certainly would be a huge disappointment. I know the NFL power rankings, they had the Eagles up at, I think they were like number 9, 10, wow. 11, somewhere in that range. And I'm going, I don't know if I see it still. They've won a couple in a row, but everything was right for them to win those games. I don't think anything is right for them to win this one.
Well, a couple of years ago, that division was one of the hardest in football. Right now, it's one of the worst in football.
It really is, yeah.
The Ravens-Cardinals Monday night game.
Oh, the Cardinals, come on. 4-1 against, what, 1-5?
Yep.
Or is that
1-5. 1-5. Yeah. Worst start ever for the Baltimore Ravens, yep.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not going to get any better on this night. Ravens don't have the weapons on offense, the injuries, and just they don't have a lot of weapons to start with before that. And Cardinals are very good. Carson Palmer is MVP type numbers so far.
Yeah, I'm shocked that the Cardinals lost last week, but the Steelers managed to pull it
up. 4-2, right. They did lose last week, 4-2 there. But, but 2 weeks in a row, I don't see it happening.
No.
All right, so based on this, who do you see as I say, I'm going to go with my Steelers as my pick of the week, but for the Survivor game. Who are you seeing as the top performer at quarterback here?
Well, I think that Russell Wilson could be a fantastic play at quarterback. He was really good, good for the most part against the Panthers.
Yeah,
you know, Cam Newton could be good, although they're planning. I know they're planning on putting a shadow on him. We'll see if that'll
make a difference. Good luck. Are you going to put a defensive end shadow on him? Because otherwise, he can't tackle him because he's as big as a defensive end.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you were going really deep, then Brian Hoyer could be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of as you look at it. I mean, I think Matt Ryan actually is a really
good one
this week. I think Palmer is really really good this week. My pick for top quarterback, I would go Tom Brady, because I know he's facing the Jets, but this is exactly what he goes out and lights it up.
Yeah.
You know, just when you think you're going to have this super competitive game, this is when they just blow somebody away. And you just go, okay, these guys are at a whole other level. So I kind of expect that this year and in this game. We'll see, though.
Because it's Monday night, I would go with, I'm going with Carson Palmer in a big way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, as far as running backs, I think that Gurley could be
a top choice. Yeah, I do. I expect Gurley to have a tremendous game.
And there's no reason that LeSean McCoy won't be a good choice.
They're gonna ride him heavy. But the guy I like actually is Lamar Miller. I think he's gonna, because the Dolphins. One thing that we did see under Campbell was they were really really heavily looking to push their running game. They were getting their running game involved finally. And the Texans against the run have been just terrible. And if you go decide, I go Freeman because Freeman's Freeman right now, and I go Miller. Those are my top two picks of the week.
I also think that Ivory could be very good.
Oh, yeah, Ivory's
going up against the Patriots, who are struggling to stop the run. I like it. All right, and then wide receivers. You got Julio Jones going
Julio
up
Jones
the Titans.
You don't not pick Julio Jones there, I think. Beckham is another one again.
Calvin Johnson's got a good matchup against the Vikings.
Yeah, it's true. I'd probably go Julio. And that's so weird, because this is, if it was Roethlisberger, you know it'd be Antonio Brown. It's just such a damn shame what's happening there with him. No, I'm going to go. You know, I would say probably T.Y. Hilton. I think is an awesome matchup with the Saints.
Yep.
So I think I'd probably go Julio Jones and T.Y. Hilton. I can't believe we're talking about top quarterbacks. None of us brought up Luck. I know he's been struggling. This certainly could be a breakout game. I wouldn't put him over Brady or over Palmer. But, I mean, it certainly everything's lining up for Hilton to have a big game, I think. So
it could be. It could be. I also really think the sneaky play could be Amari Cooper from the Raiders.
Absolutely could be, for sure.
And tight end, again, that would be Gronk. Yep. With a side helping of Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah, even though he hasn't actually been as dominant as he was those first couple of weeks, the thing about him is he's Gronk.
And he's so, but he's still so consistent.
He's consistent. Very consistent.
It's the touchdowns.
Yeah, but if you really look at it, I mean, if you were looking for the guy who's like, who could outperform him, who is Olsen, who, you know, is playing very well also, you know, against the Eagles, and I think him and Newton will have another big game. So, I mean, if you want to go Olsen, that's fine. We're going to stick with Gronk because he has more potential to get three TDs.
As far as kickers go, well, take a pick.
Yeah, it's a kicker. So I'll just go Gostkowski. Yeah.
As far as defenses go, I love the Steelers defense.
The Steelers defense, I think, is tremendous here. Falcons defense, I think, is tremendous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think those are two of the top plays. If I'm going to go Steelers. But, you want to pick perhaps if you want to go with the Raiders in a stream, I think you're going to do really well with that. There's a lot of good picks, actually, in defense this week. So, but for me, Steelers would be my top pick as well.
All right.
Okay, so let's move on now and take a look at the players and where they were drafted. So let's go Adrian Peterson, and what we'll do is we'll just click on the player, open him in another tab, and we'll take a look at his points per game on a PPR basis, and just pick it on my today PPR. And we'll see where he sits. PPR. I think he's at about 16 points a game. Yeah, exactly 16 points a
16
game.
16 points a game, yep.
16 points a game. Now, he was going first overall. Do you see that first overall for me is not good enough for 16 points a game. If you're second round, that's fine. Maybe even high-end first round. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you look at how poorly many of the other players have performed at that position. But 16 points per game for first overall running back, for me, not good enough.
No, I do agree with that. I think it's first round based on how other players are playing. But there is no question. It's not first overall. And I always thought that people were overdrafting it.
We always did. Le'Veon Bell, who we actually predicted would be the best player once he got in there after a couple of games, he's at 21.4 points per game.
Yeah, so 5 points ahead of Adrian.
Yeah, that shows you the difference. I mean, if for the rest of the season he's going to outscore Adrian Peterson by 5 points per game, you definitely, even if though he missed the first two, you'd rather have him. For me, he is worth the draft pick if he keeps that up. It's tough because he missed those first two games. It really is, but I think he's definitely worth it. Now, this guy is a tough one. The third overall pick in PPR's average draft position was Antonio Brown. And,
Yeah, he's got average of 17.8. And the thing is, it's higher than Adrian Peterson. But the reason why I would still put Adrian Peterson above him is because running backs are much harder to come by than wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing you have to look at here is you look at him last year and he was 23 points. And the year before, he's like 19 points. So he's actually down. And it's a real shame, though, because there's no question. If Big Ben doesn't get hurt, he's right at where he was last year.
Yes.
The fact that he's actually still averaging 17.8 after these last few games where he's getting like 7 points per game and everything, is actually really quite remarkable. It shows you how good he was. Down the stretch, I think he will be worth his draft position. Right now, I'd say he's worth a second-round pick, not a first-round pick, not third overall, but I think he will eventually be worth that pick.
All right, next up is Jamaal Charles. Again, you know, here's a guy.
He's not worth the pick because he's hurt.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, and it's hard to say that, but, you know, that's what happens. And 21 points per game says that if he doesn't get hurt, he's worth the pick.
Yeah, if he doesn't get hurt, he's probably worth being first or second overall.
Yes.
But anybody who got hurt and is going to miss the entire season, no. I mean, unfortunately, he's not worth it. So right now we're looking at, so far we're, four players in? We only have one player who's worth their pick yet.
Yeah, and now we have
a guy who we think will be worth their pick later.
Now we have a guy who's so not worth his pick, it's not even funny.
Eddie Lacy.
Yep. 8.2 points per game is what he's given you, and right now it looks like he's stuck in a committee.
I think the bigger question with Eddie Lacy is, we know last year he ended up with 17.3, and the year before he was 16.3. So I think the figuring was he would go up again another 1.5 points or so this year, to close to 19 points per game was kind of the expectation, and instead he's dropped back. Last year, though, he started off horribly again, and then he really picked it up in the second half. So the question for me isn't, is he worth it? Because everybody knows he isn't. The question for me is, and that I pose to you, is will he be worth it by the end of the year? Will he improve? Will he get hot and start to do what he did last year? If so, and he's averaging 20-plus points for the rest of the season after the bye, we're going to learn a lot because they're going into a bye. And maybe now he's maybe a little nicked up, gets a chance to get a little healthy, put his head on again and get out there and work hard. And you never know.
I don't think he is at this point. If you get a big game out of Eddie Lacy and you can manage to swing him out in a trade, I actually think that you will be, depending on the player you get back, but you will be doing yourself a service.
That's
by actually, doing that.
That is very possible. Here's a guy worth it.
Absolutely worth it. Julio Jones, 22.8. I mean, he is up from last year. In fact, up from 2013 as well, when he averaged 22.3.
Yeah, and that was the season where he unfortunately got hurt.
But
think about it. This is a guy last year who ended up with almost 1,600 yards and 100 receptions in a PPR, and he's up from that this year. He's on a higher pace, almost 3 points a game higher.
And his last two games, he's been injured.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's gonna be spectacular. He's worth it. There's only the second guy who we can say is worth it. And like I say, we think Brown will end up worth it by the end of the season. But he's a steal, actually, I think, at sixth overall.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Here's another guy not worth it at this point, Marshawn Lynch. 10.1, so I mean he's better than Eddie Lacy, but I think the biggest problem with Marshawn, and yes, he's only played the four games, but
this is his average per game. We're not looking at his season total. If we look at his season total, he's an even bigger bust because of those injuries.
Yeah,
and I don't know if he's still nicked up or what. I know they didn't use Rawls much last week, which is a shame because he was great when he was in there. He's 10.1. I think we've been waiting for a guy that physical to eventually lose a step, and it's looking to me like it might have happened.
Yeah, I think that in his case, he's suffering from...
And the team hasn't been as good either.
He's suffering from the rest of the team being not so good, and I think that's what's really happening. And when the team starts to pick it up, which I do believe they will, I think Marshawn Lynch will pick it up. Does he pick it up to the point where he's worth an eighth overall pick? I don't know.
I like that you say you think that they will right after you were hesitant about picking them over the Niners.
I was hesitant, but I did say 70-30. I was way higher than you.
So here's another guy that is not worth it. And this is Dez Bryant.
Yeah, again, I mean, he wasn't very worth it before the injury, but he's... Yeah.
Well, it was 1.5 games.
Yeah.
You know, that he played, so you can't... But he only had 7 targets in that time. 5 receptions in 1.5, or not even 1.5 games, 1.25. So it's such a small sample size that it's hard to judge. But anybody who's hurt and misses that much of the season that you took in the first round is not worth the draft pick.
No. And I mean,
weird because you have to pick somebody in the first round. I mean, when we're doing this, it's more out of just kind of interest than it is. What do you learn from it? I don't know that you can learn anything from it.
No.
Other than most of the time, what we're seeing is safer picks are wide receivers and who have a tendency to a history of staying healthy. That's who you want.
But, you know, and that being said, I mean, Dez Bryant, if he does stay healthy, he's probably close to worth
it. He has been hurt before in his career, but yeah, so is Julio Jones, right? Yeah,
you can never
guess that.
That guy.
Yeah.
You're not going to not pick Dez Bryant because he's going to get
it. It's a strange thing where you're like, okay, the wide receivers are safer. They're worth more in this way. They're safer.
Yeah.
We're talking about the players that are worth their pick are generally wide receivers. And yet, because of that, the running backs are even more valuable because it's so hard to hit on.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why Adrian Peterson, for a running back, has shown value now.
As we go through this, we're learning that about him. It's a disappointment first overall, but it's showing value. But Bell is definitely terrific.
Yes. All right, Demaryius Thomas, he's got 17.8. So, I mean, he's...
So he's a,
he's passable.
Okay, yeah. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's ahead of Brown, though Brown, you know, has had, but this guy has also had quarterback problems.
Yeah,
but I mean, but it's ahead of Brown. It's just barely at 0.4 points a game, but it's behind Jones. But considering he was drafted a couple paces behind Jones, I think that's fine. Again, is that worth a first round pick? That's probably second round numbers.
And the thing is, that will depend on what we wind up seeing with some of the second round players.
Yeah.
All right. So
Beckham. Here's another one. I expect very similar numbers.
Yeah.
To what we saw from.
18.5.
So if you're looking at last year, 24.8, you're like, oh, he's a disappointment. Truthfully, I don't think anybody should have expected him to be able to hold up to those numbers. So I think 18.5 for a guy who's picked 10th is just fine. Here's a huge disappointment.
Huge disappointment. C.J. Anderson, who's averaging 6.8.
And is usually on the waiver wire right now.
Yeah, and he should be on the waiver wire right now because... you know, well, I mean, because here's an 11th overall draft pick, and he's struggled mightily this year.
He's not even worth a waiver or a flex position. That's how poorly he's played.
And for a first-round pick, you know, that is a horrible waste of a draft pick to have a guy who is basically
Does show you that if you have a guy who is hot for only a part of a season... you know, I mean, he was hot down the stretch, but he didn't have a sample size to prove to you that he was going to be strong. He's not worth it. I mean, Jeremy Hill was a second-round pick, but we're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, and at least he was a second-round pick, so it's slightly better.
So it is better. I bet you he's outperformed 6.8.
Yeah.
Despite his disappointment.
For sure. Calvin Johnson, he has 16.5.
So, I mean, Calvin Johnson 16.5 is... I mean, okay. He's a wide receiver who's scoring 0.5 points more a game than first overall... pick Adrian Peterson. I think you think he can be even better than that. Like, he has potential to be even better than that. He's a good enough player, and you know, to be even better than that. The disappointment is it has to be seen as quarterbacking has held him down. But I mean, I don't know that you bitch too much about that.
I don't think you do. I think a lot of people commented about his age. I do think that's starting to get fair. But the truth is, he is a good, strong player, and he is going to be on the decline phase of his career, but he's still going to give you fairly consistent numbers.
So we're
going to
look at just a few of the picks, a few more picks here. We're going to go in number 13 overall, first round, or first pick in the second round was Gronk.
Although I believe that mostly I still feel like most of the leagues we did, he wound up in the first round.
And he should have. Looking at these numbers at 19.1, he's so far the best value pick, I think, in the whole draft. 19.1, I think, how many players have outperformed that? Julio and...
Julio and LaBelle. Bell.
And is that it?
I feel like somebody else outperformed that. But either way, at a tight end, that's the thing I think you have to look at.
Yeah, Charles was at 20, but... Yeah,
tight end, there's so few tight ends available.
Yeah, exactly.
That absolutely, he would give you...
He would give you. Matt Forte is someone I feel like is having a solid season under the radar.
Matt Forte, 18.1. So for Matt Forte, he's actually not having a very good season. But for currently in the NFL, he's having a very good
season.
Well,
it's like, I mean, he's 3 points per game per less than he's been in the last couple of years. But, I mean, he's higher than he was for the rest of pretty much of his career, most of his career. Let's face it, he's outscoring Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
He's drafted the second pick of the second round. I great value there.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, if you'd wound up picking Le'Veon Bell instead of Adrian Peterson and wound up getting
Matt Forte
on the come
around, I bet you would be a 5-1 team right now. You know, a 4-1 or 4-2 at least. Here's a Jeremy Hill. Again, much like Anderson, he is outperforming him significantly, 10.8, 4 points a game. But that's it. If you don't have the sample size, it's tough to draft them, I think, that high. It's a risk.
Even last year was only 13.4 points per game.
I bet you in the last half it was probably like 22.
Exactly. He played so many games, but he didn't actually play in so many of the games.
Yeah. At Green, I expect his numbers to be similar to the other top receivers. One thing we are seeing now, he's at 17.7. So, I mean, what we're seeing with all these receivers, except for Jones, they're all within like a point and a half of each other. So, I mean, if you're drafting a first-round receiver, if you're drafting, you know, I don't know, Dez Bryant or
Odell Beckham,
you're just as well off to wait a couple more and get green. The difference is so little that you're smarter trying to pick up that second good running back.
Here's a very interesting one. Andrew Luck, who's averaging 23.8, which is not a bad average. I mean, it's definitely down. Last year it was 27.6, but I think the problem is that after everybody saw him last year, I think everybody expected him to go from being 27.6 to being over 30 this year.
I was thinking the 29 to 30 range, yeah, and this is a huge disappointment. And due to that, you know, I mean, Hilton's numbers have dropped a lot too, because that's the thing about a quarterback. He affects the other players more than anybody else.
And is he worth his draft pick?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You know, fifth pick in the second round? No way. You could say that. Here's Randall Cobb.
He's a number one receiver. Drafted as a number one receiver. Got 15 points per game. His lowest besides his rookie season. And in all honesty, I don't think he's been worth it right now.
He hasn't been worth it. And you know, it's one of those things where he's also been banged up. And that's his last couple of games have been really poor because of that. But that's part of it.
Aaron Rodgers is struggling to find more downfield shots and stuff like that. They're struggling to put up points this year. And I do think that that has been a huge drain on...
Here's another guy that is not worth it, even regardless. He scored... This is kind of interesting. DeMarco Murray has scored 16.3 points per game. I'd like to say, once again, first overall pick...
Adrian Peterson,
16.0. Do you realize that DeMarco Murray is outscoring Adrian Peterson? Do you realize that?
That is painful.
And yet I do not consider him worth it because the consistency
that
you want has not been there. But maybe it will for the rest of the season now.
That's right. He has felt a lot better overall. And I'm just hoping that he can kind of eke out a little bit more of more value from there. Justin Forsett. Now, here's a guy that I didn't expect to be worth a second-round pick, and I don't think he is.
A guy I projected to be fourth or fifth rounder that was going so high.
Yeah.
He had a great year last year, you know, 15.3, but you have to remember he wasn't really designated the starter until much later in the season. So 14.6, though, he is the worst running back we've seen so far outside of Hill.
Yeah,
I think.
Hill
and Anderson.
And Anderson, yeah. Anderson, yeah. Certainly the biggest bust.
Biggest bust, yeah.
So, I mean, 14.6, he's doing okay.
Here's a guy that never should have been picked in the eighth pick of the second round. 20th overall, Brandon Cooks. There was nothing to show you that he was worth that.
And he was being drafted as a number one receiver. In fact, at one point, we saw him go in round one. And he's averaging...
First receiver off the board.
And he's averaging 11.9 points per game.
PPR, yeah.
He is another enormous...
And he's down from 13.9. He needed to make a 3-point, 4-point jump. He's an absolute bust. LeSean McCoy is somebody else that is difficult to say because, again, injuries have affected how much he's played.
Yeah, I mean, but so 13.3 is painful at this point.
Well, let's put it this way. Last year, 2 years ago, he was 20 points a game. Awesome. Last year, he was 13 points a game, and a huge disappointment. He's averaging that again. Where does that place him?
Yeah. Still, Well, and it starts to get into the definition of insanity to expect more.
Yeah, it does, yeah. It does.
All right. Well, we talked earlier about T.Y.
Hilton. But he could have a big week this week.
He absolutely could. T.Y. Hilton, you're right. See, 14.1 points a game. And as a general rule, like T.Y. Hilton in the second round, that's a first. That's a wide receiver one.
14.1 is showing to me to be a wide receiver two, though.
Yeah. And but that's based on where he's drafted,
You're drafting him as being a low-end wide receiver one, and he's being a wide receiver two. At 14.1 points per game, you're seeing him at 3.5 points less than last year. What does that mean? That's all based on health and quarterback.
All right, well, I want to do...
And I'm not sure I'm going to see Hilton get much better. It doesn't feel like that, unfortunately.
I want to do just two more players here. We're going to finish off the second round. So here's Lamar Miller, 10.3 points per game. Average so
four far. Down from last year, and last year he wasn't spectacular. People were expecting him much better this year.
Yeah,
but he was a slow starter last year too.
The other guy that I want to just look at is the other top two quarterback here, Aaron Rodgers, and the interesting thing is that Aaron Rodgers is averaging 25.1 points a game versus 25.6 last year. So he's really not awful.
And what was he the year before? He was 23. And the year before that?
25. he's only had 1 year where he was ever over 30, and that was 2011. So, but the interesting thing was
he's consistent, though.
He's always consistent as hell. But what I'm noticing is that, and this is,
and he's outperforming Locke.
Yes, but this is where I talk about the devaluation of quarterbacks, because I don't buy Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck were consistent 1 and 2 quarterbacks, and that meant that they went off the board either in round one or generally in round two. In this case, yeah, average draft position shows the
3-0-1
him in round three. But the problem is, based on the other quarterbacks, I'm willing to bet if we went down and looked at Tom Brady, if we went down and looked at Andy Dalton, some of those other quarterbacks, you would find equally as good value.
I bet you you'd have better value right now playing Blake Bortles, streaming those quarterbacks like we are. Andy Dalton for sure. You know, actually, let's just we could look it up if we wanted to. Some of the stats. If you just go into the stats section at the very top today, Fantasy Football Today, like we say, is a website we love as a great resource, and you can find the stats there for quarterbacks. And
well, Andy Dalton is quarterback per 26.9 points per game. Phillip Rivers, 25.7 points per game. Both of those available.
Tom Brady
in round 12.
Carson Palmer, comparable, only 1.5 points less a game.
Yeah, Tom Brady at 29.5
is one best. Point. Actually, 1 point less a game. Cam Newton is outscoring him in a per game average. Matt Ryan Russell, is that? No, that can't be right. Tyrod Taylor. Sorry, that's Tyrod Taylor. Is about the same level.
You want to look at who's almost at the same level? Josh McCown, 22.7 points per game.
So is it worth it to ever draft a quarterback right now? Early? No.
No.
And I think that's about it for this week on We Talk Fantasy Football. We are OUT on this sucker. Is there any last things you want to say, Brett?
Yeah, we'll see you, and we'll beat you. Especially if you drafted Andrew Luck.